Okay, so let's open up our Bibles to Mark chapter 11, verse 22, and we'll start there. We're gonna, you know, last Sunday we talked about visualizing the results before you pray. And that's something that we really need to practice. You know, sometimes, you know, life hits us, we'll pray, but all we can see is the problem. And then we focus on the problem. But you got to focus on the answer. A lot of times, I've dealt with a lot of different alcoholics, and as long as they focus on the problem, they won't get any better. They focus on the solution, they'll go forward. They'll focus on the answer, they'll go forward. Christians are the same way in everything in their life. They focus on the problem is going to just persist and even get worse. They focus on the answer, then they'll get resolution, they'll grow, they'll go forward, and they'll win. Amen. You got to focus on the answer. Brother, let me get over to Mark chapter 11, verse 22. This is right here, these three verses, is where the rubber meets the road. When you have a problem, always know that there is something that's already been made right before that problem existed. There's always an answer. Jesus already paid for your problem to be resolved. Amen? Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And here's the thing, Jesus said some curious things in there. And in the word of faith circles that we find ourselves in, you know, in the world of faith, we focus on the believing. Jesus talked about believing one time in there. The rest of the time, he's talked about what you're doing with your tongue three times. You know, when you get born again, you become a believer. That's what you are. You're a believer. Amen? When your mama puts you to bed at night, she didn't tell you to keep breathing, did she? You just did that. God put you in this world, and he said, believe on Jesus. That was the one thing he told us to believe on. Believe on Jesus. When you believe on Jesus, you're going to see him in his grace. That grace is going to hit you and it's going to cause faith to happen in your heart. But Jesus talked about your saying. So many times people will go into prayer. And they'll pray good prayers. They'll have somebody pray for them. They'll pray good prayers. And then they'll go out into the world and they'll just let their tongue go crazy. What am I talking about going crazy? Well, somebody comes in and wants prayer for finances. And you pray for finances. And then that guy goes out in the world and he talks about how broke he is. How he gets paid and he never has enough money at the end of the month. He can never make ends meet. He can never pay his bills. He can never do this. He's always so broke he can't pay attention. And he just talks like that. Well, you just took that word of faith and chunked it over your shoulder. And you took up the word of doubt from Satan. Satan was feeding you those words, and you took his words and spoke them. You got to understand, the Bible says there's no idle words. When you speak a word into the atmosphere, that word is a seed, and it has the power and ability to produce a crop. If you want good crops, sow good seeds. If you don't want good crops, sow bad seeds. The choice is yours. We can control our tongue or we can let it roll. All we need to talk about here, we need to see ourselves in the Spirit. We need to see ourselves in the Spirit to achieve the desired results. And you're going to have to stop. And you're going to have to get quiet. And you're going to have to find a promise in the Bible. And you're going to have to meditate on that thing. You're going to have to read that thing over and over and over again. And you're going to have to think about what it would be like to have that in your life. You have to see yourself with that answer. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3. Verse 13. Everybody knows this scripture. But do they really know this scripture? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Let's stop right there. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. There are people that can just memorize that scripture all over the place. Word of faith circle is full of that. They know this verse. But do they really know this verse? If you ever find yourself afraid that God is going to take something away from you or do something to you or punish you or rebuke you because you did something wrong, guess what? You skipped over that verse. This drives a lot of religious folks crazy. God is not out to get you. He's out to bless you. To understand grace, you're going to have to understand this verse. And to understand this verse, you're going to have to understand grace. You are saved by grace. The minute you ask Jesus to be your Lord, you got put into the dispensation of grace. A whole new covenant. One where God said he would not remember your sins. 1 John 1:7 says that the shed blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. Now, this is not a license to sin. This is not a license to go out there and be an idiot. But what it is you've been removed from the curse of the law. So if that curse is going to get on you, how is it going to happen? By picking up the law. By frustrating grace. By trying to be good enough. By trying to earn God's favor, by trying to earn God's blessing. You know, if I do this, if you ever catch yourself going into an activity to try to earn bonus points with God, stop. Just stop. You're just frustrating grace. And when you fail, and I promise you, He will. It'll just bring more condemnation to you than what you need. You don't need to play that game. You go do those activities because Jesus has already blessed you with everything. God has blessed you with everything. He's freely given you everything with Christ Jesus. And He brought you into the family. He asked you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He asked you to help be an intercessor. He asked you to do these things to help the family. Amen? Not to earn favor, but to spread the good news. Amen? You know, it takes a lot of effort. You know, this place doesn't get cleaned by itself. I've seen this thing on YouTube one time. There's this Australian guy who's sitting on the chair and he had this coffee table all full of stuff and clothes and dishes all over the place. His wife come home and she said, "Why don't you do something about that?" And she started picking stuff up and he said, "No, stop. Just stop. Just watch this. Just don't do anything." He said, "I can fill this coffee table up with stuff. And somehow at nighttime, it just goes away. And I can mess up my clothes. I can put them all over the house. And I wake up in the morning and they're folded in this basket. And they're clean." His wife said, you can see her, she's about ready to drag him. But here's the thing. There's a lot of people think that about churches. You know, they just kind of show up and go away. They show up and go away. You know, and they don't get into service work. You know, it takes a lot of effort to keep this place clean. It takes a lot of effort to get everything put together. You know, music, get the music ministry put together. You know, there's a lot of time put into keeping things going. But it's because God has already given us everything. Amen? Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 8. Now, you got to remember, you're redeemed from the curse of the law. So if a curse is going to get on you, it's because you were picking up the law. You're trying to work things out. He's trying to earn it. Romans chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." That's you. He's already said that. When you get born again, you're that man that God does not impute sin to. This bugs people. But you have to understand that you're totally forgiven. You're totally under grace. When a man receives the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, he'll rule and reign over sin. That's what the Bible tells us. When you receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, you'll rule and reign over sin. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. We read this thing a whole bunch of times. But this is one of the most important scriptures you're ever going to know. "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." You know, righteousness was one of those religious words that had me boogered for a long time. And I got down to Midland. I was down there in Bible school, and somebody was talking about Kenneth Copeland, and I said, "You know, I heard of that guy, but I never heard him preach." And you would have thought it was like E.F. Hutton said something, because everybody just went silent. They just stopped talking and looked at me. Said, "Where have you been?" I don't know, I just never heard him. You got some of these tapes? They wouldn't open the closet. And there's a closet full of tapes. And I thought, wow. So I started looking at these tapes. And there was this one whole series called Right Standing with God. And I thought, that's interesting. So I grabbed those tapes. I said, can I go listen to these? They said, yeah, take them. It was about righteousness. It's about understanding righteousness. Righteousness is just this. You're in right standing with God. The minute you understand that you're in right standing with God, that everything that was wrong between you and God got washed away by the blood of Jesus, now you're in right standing with Him. That gives you a better ability to visualize your results. Amen. Understanding grace and righteousness and forgiveness will give you more clarity in your daydreams. And it's important to do this. Find out what it is you need. Maybe you have challenges. Maybe you need deliverance from some kind of challenge. Look at Psalms chapter 34, verse 19. Psalm chapter 34, verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. See, a lot of times Christians are kind of shocked that they have challenges, that even stuff attacks them. You know, but the Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the good news is that the Lord delivers you out of all of them. What would it be like to be delivered from your big challenge? Have you thought about that? Not just driving down the road wishing that this would go away, but sitting there on purpose, seeing yourself in a position where that challenge isn't even there anymore, where God just took it out of the way. What would you do? What would it be like? What would it feel like? How about healing? Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Always remember, always, 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 if something happens, if a bad thing happens, if a problem happens, always know this, that there's already an answer. You get sick, you get attacked with a sickness, you get attacked with some kind of a disease, there's already an answer. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. Think about that for just 1 second. What happened right there? Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. He took the curse of the law for us. The sins that we committed, he took the punishment for. Being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So I know when you get attacked with something, and it's always in your face, you know, the fever's there, the upset stomach's there, the aching joints is there, the headache's there, everything's there, the lack of appetite, everything's there. It's right there hounding you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But you got to stop and think, what would it be like without this? Because the Bible says that by his stripes I was healed. And I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And sickness is part of the curse of the law. And I've been redeemed from that. That's not mine. It doesn't belong to me. So what would it be like to walk down the street without this sickness? Where would I go? What would I do? Who would I go see? Would I go fishing? Would I start a new hobby? See, you need to get serious about this daydreaming stuff. What would it be like, say just for instance, if Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 came into effect? You didn't have any money, but the Bible says that my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What would it be like if all your needs were met? What would you do? Would you start a new job? Start a new business? Buy a new car? Go on a trip? Go fishing? What would it be like? What would it be like to just lay down and not have to worry about bill collectors? What would it be like to lay down and not have to worry about how you're going to eat tomorrow? See, the only way you're going to get this vision is to get in the Bible and look at those words in that Bible and make them come alive in your little thinker here and think on these things and get them in your heart and get it so personal. You know, I've heard people that wanted a new house. So what do? Go pray for that new house? Well, they find scripture in there first. This one lady said her scripture was to expand the stakes of her tent. So she started drawing plans for this house. She drew these plans for this house. Had the color of the paint. She knew what kind of tile she wanted. She knew what kind of carpet she wanted. She knew what kind of cabinets she wanted. She knew what kind of countertop she wanted. She knew what her doors were supposed to look like. She knew where the hallways were supposed to be and how many bedrooms there were supposed to be. She knew what the light fixtures were supposed to look like and what color they were. I'm talking about sitting down there and thinking about this and looking at it and dreaming about it and making it real in your heart. If you can think it and you can believe it, you can achieve it. But you got to get control of this fine-tuned thinking machine up here between your ears, and you got to get control of your tongue. And the only way to get control of your tongue is by the Holy Spirit. And how he does that is with the Word of God. Amen? Yeah? He can do it with just rank amateurs. Brand new Christians can do this. Actually, I think it's easier for them than some of the old pros that have been in here for 40, 50 years. Some of the people that have been, unfortunately, sometimes people that come out of the Bible Belt, sometimes the real religious folks that have been sitting in there for 30, 40 years have the hardest time getting the concept of this. Get so much doctrine run into you, so much religious tradition and so much false teaching ran in there, it's hard to get that broke. I think sometimes it's better for people, if they're like me, just get raised like a coyote pup and then let Jesus step in, and then you don't have all that wrong teaching to have to sift through. You don't have to break all that off. You can just go forward with God. Amen? Look at Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Actually, we're going to read quite a bit more than that. Go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore rise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. So here, God came to Joshua and said, you're the new pastor of all these millions of people. I can just imagine Joshua thinking, I was here 40 years ago with this, their parents. We were going to go across, and they didn't want to go. Can you imagine the thoughts that might have been going through his head? Said, you mean you want me to fill Moses' shoes? You know, the one that parted the Red Sea, the one that did all the miracles in the Egypt, that smote a rock and it made water, did all these things out in the desert, did all this stuff, led these people. Now you want me to fill his shoes? Well, that's impossible. But here's the thing. God loves to ask people to do impossible things. He doesn't call equipped people. He equips called people. See, if he calls somebody and asks them to do it, he will make it where they have the ability to do it through him. Yeah. Verse 3 says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness in this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you, nor forsake you. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this place shall you divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou go. Here's the kicker right here. Verse 8. As this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, ye shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That was God's instructions to Joshua, and it's God's instructions to us. Meditation is one of the key things to life, to success, to anything that you want in this life. It's vital. Find the answer to your challenge in the Bible. Always remember this, that there's something wrong because there's something right. How can I say that? Because God blessed Adam, and he blessed the creation on this earth. And he gave that blessing to Adam. So the blessing was out there. The curse didn't come about until Satan stole it from Adam. Well, actually, Adam handed it over to Satan. Satan took the blessing, twisted it, made the curse. Satan's never been able to create anything. All he's ever been able to do is counterfeit. That's all he does, counterfeit it. So if a sickness attacks you, know this, that there's already a healing available to you There was a healing available to you before that sickness hit. If poverty attacks you, know that it's already been met at the cross. For I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he's rich, yet for my sake he became poor, not till his poverty had been made rich. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. You got to meditate on these things, get them in your heart, and see them happening. What would it be like to be set free? What would it be like to sleep without being afraid? That was one thing the blood of Jesus did for me. I used to have horrible, horrible, before I got born again, I had horrible, 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 terrible nightmares. Terrible nightmares. Like snakes jumping on me, and I'd jump out of bed and I'd run and blanket would get tangled around my feet and it'd be a snake to me, and I'd have horrible dreams about that. Spiders falling down on me, snake, it was terrible. But Jesus moved in and that moved out. See, Jesus has a way of changing things for us. He just needs a little bit of cooperation from us. Amen? He just needs us to say, I want it. And you provided it for me. It's mine. But you got to learn what's in there. You know, Jesus said, take his yoke upon you and learn of him. The only way you're going to learn of him is to get in the Bible and read that thing for yourself. That's his will. You know, get tapes, listen to tapes. You know, we record these things every Sunday and Wednesday. Listen to those. It's great to go to church. That's important. But you're only in here for a couple hours a week. And then the rest of the time, you're bombarded with the world. You can go, here's a good one. Do this. Listen to your pastor. One time. Go to Joseph Prince Ministries and sign up for his daily grace messages on email. He'll send daily grace messages to you every day. And read those. That's a good, easy way to get some word into you before you start your day. You know? And then you can go on about, watch how it changes your life. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for everything that you've done for us. Father, we thank you for the word of grace that you've given us. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that continually cleanses us from all sin. We thank you for the abundance of grace you've given us and the gift of righteousness. Lord Jesus, we ask as we learn of you that you show us and teach us daily by the power of the Holy Spirit how to walk in this grace, live in this righteousness, live in your abundance. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.